B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. I read from Evan Drellick with The Athletic. His story that was posted on Friday. Is it Friday this went up? Yeah, Friday night. Judge orders 2017 MLB letter to the Yankees to be unsealed. Plaintiffs say it details sign stealing. He writes, a New York judge ruled on Friday that a letter sent by Major League Baseball, Commissioner Rob Manfred, to the Yankees addressing the findings of a 2017 investigation into the team should be unsealed. Major League Baseball and the New York Yankees may submit a minimally redacted version of the letter to protect the identity of the individuals mentioned by noon Eastern on Monday. This is a part of the proceedings in a lawsuit that was brought against the league by daily fantasy sports contestants. Yeah, this is still going on. This all in the wake of the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal, as well as the Boston Red Sox sign-stealing scandal. The Yankees argue the letter would cause, quote, significant reputational injury. Judge Jed Rakoff said in his order that the letter is not to be unsealed until June 19th, so the team has enough time to make an emergency appeal. People with knowledge of the case said it is likely the Yankees will do so. A lawyer representing the Yankees, Jonathan Schiller, said there is no justification for public disclosure of the letter. The plaintiff has no case anymore, and the court held that what Major League Baseball wrote in confidence was irrelevant to the court's dismissal of the plaintiff's case. Under established law, this supports the Yankees' right to confidentiality required by the Commissioner of Baseball. Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of lawyer hogwash, if you ask me. But the ruling is the letter has to be unsealed this week. The Yankees will file an emergency appeal if they are admitting that it would cause serious reputational harm to the New York Yankees and to baseball. It begs, what is in that letter? And what did Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball bury on behalf of the Yankees? What is it that they have covered up? Why is it that they would not go after the Astros until it was reported by Evan Drellick and Ken Rosenthal? Why is it that they wouldn't go after the Red Sox until that was reported? And why is it now that it took a group of fantasy sports players suing the league following all of this to try and get a letter out there that details what it is the Yankees were up to. And this is proof that everybody was taking it to the max, that much of the league was probably involved in these scandals. And I think it serves as some sort of evidence that you cannot trust the reporting that has come out from Major League Baseball and either the Astros or the Red Sox. Can't trust it. And so there have been plenty. I've said this from the very beginning. When are they going to investigate the Yankees? Clearly something was going on with the Yankees. I mentioned that a number of times when this first started with the Red Sox. They got to look at the Yankees. Well, now through the courts, we might get a look at the Yankees and what was going on. But here's what I would say. You mentioned Carrabas, right?
Yeah.
Carrabas has been on the, Alex Cora didn't do it train, I believe. You know, the report, JT Watkins went rogue. If there are people, and if Carrabas truly feels that way, or if he's stated it that way, and I'd have to talk to him to know exactly what it is he said. You can't have that both ways. JT Watkins did not go rogue, and also the Yankees are dirty. Because now we know that Major League Baseball doesn't go far enough in investigating what it is that has happened with these teams. Or announcing what it is that has happened with these teams. Or being transparent in any way, shape, or form. So they were not transparent on the Astros. There was probably more to that story they didn't reveal. Like, oh, I don't know, microphones taped to the chest or whatever else it is.
Right.
Earpieces. Whatever it was that was going
buzzers.
On.
Yep.
Buzzers. Whatever. In addition to that, you've got the Boston report that says JT Watkins went rogue. Nobody knew anything. Nothing really happened. Bull crap. If you think the Yankees were dirty and now we're going to find out the way we're about to find out, you've also got to assume the Red Sox were filthy too. And it may extend well beyond these three teams, and it may be all of Major League Baseball for all we know.
I think at the initial thoughts on this, when we first started talking about this, that it was going to be much deeper than that, like everybody was doing it. It wasn't going to be just one team. And if you're a fan right now, do you think that poorly of the Houston Astros right now? So, okay, say this is going to get revealed about the Yankees. Whatever you feel about the Red Sox, whether they did or didn't do anything, or whether Cora should ever manage again, or should the Red Sox ever go after him, say they don't even play baseball, would you go back and try and get him to be your manager again? I don't know how you'd feel about it. Like, I don't look at Alex Cora and think, boy, this guy's just so
about
dirty.
About what? About sign stealing? About the Astros? What are you asking about?
Just about, like, okay, in detail about the Yankees. What's going to be so dirty in this letter where you can say, oh, you're going to be horrified by anything? Like, I'm not really horrified. Now, if you're using buzzers to the extent of I'm watching on a remote and I'm signaling this to a guy, that's really going into it. But just little thumps and dings here and there, you're going to pick up some stuff within the game. I don't think you're really going to find anything that the Yankees went over the top to cheat. Because I think if they really want to do this to every team does it. It's in the game. It's part of the game. They've been doing this for years. So now all of a sudden we're going to hold investigations with every single team in this now. But you're right, though. You can't think one way about the Yankees about being dirty and slimy if you don't think the Red Sox were doing it. Or why were the Red Sox investigated? The Yankees not, you know? I don't think anything that much less of Cora, really. They do something wrong? Yeah, wrong with the Astros. Nothing here. I wouldn't think it would be that much of a problem if he became your manager here again. So what are you really going to think about the Yankees when this is unveiled? If it's something simple, if it was just sign stealing.
What if it's not? Why are they going to file an emergency appeal? Why are they so dead set against this letter being made public? What's in the letter?
It's just bad for the team, bad for the game. I don't know.
What if it were the same thing that were going on with the New York Yankees?
They can't even come to
an freaking
agreement to play right now. Now you're going to have this on
All right,
top
stay on this
baseball.
Topic, though. What if it were the same thing about the same thing happened in New York that happened in Houston? You think no big deal? Who cares?
No, then it's going to be which team is next. And which team after that? Maybe the Yankees know more. Maybe they know which teams were in and on it all. Maybe this is what baseball was trying to protect. Maybe this is why you didn't really want to do anything with Houston. Oh, until Drellick had to report. Now, it didn't seem like they really wanted to press the issue, baseball, full well knowing about it. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, if it's buzzers and microphones and all that, then yeah. Then they should get hit the way that Houston did then.
Okay.
But I don't think it was that thing.
That's a possibility. That is a possibility that there was
See, I think Houston's extreme.
That there was in-game sign stealing in which they could have been signaling players. In fact, there's a rumor that the Yankees were able to do that, and they were relaying it to players by the positioning of base coaches. They would relay it from the dugout to the base coaches, and they would stand a certain way, or they would hold their hands a certain way. And there are ways that they were relaying the information onto the field. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's worth knowing what's in the letter and why is it that they're so dead set against hiding that. And, yes, I think typically it's all tip of the iceberg. It's all tip of the iceberg. And so there's a lot more that's gone on that baseball doesn't want us to know about.
Right.
And so if they're going to great lengths to block this letter, and I'm sure they will this week, because, again, their lawyers admit it would cause serious reputational harm. Well, what reputation, I mean, baseball's reputation on this front has already sort of been damaged. So what more is there?
Whose reputation? Why? What is it that causes the reputation harm? They say, we're not covering up any smoking gun. Because it sounds exactly like you're covering up a smoking gun.
Yes.
That's what
and
it sounds like.
And it's further proof that they have not been transparent at any point during any of this. And that's what it is. And so, yeah, when I look at the situation, I say, yeah, we've got a problem here. Baseball doesn't want you to know what the hell's been going on. And they'll cover up for the Yankees, and they'll cover up the best they can for the Astros. The problem with the Astros and Red Sox is guys started talking. That was the problem. Guys started talking. Guys started telling people what the story was, and then it got reported on, and then baseball had to act. They were forced to act. With the Yankees, they're being forced to act. They're trying to continue to bury whatever it is they know because they don't want to act on it. They don't want it to come to light. And so I think it's widespread. And by the way, Alex Cora should never manage the Red Sox again. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. I don't care if he did it in Boston or he did it in Houston. I mean, that to me is taking it so far. that it should he should never be in a position of management again. It should never be a team's manager. Sorry, I would not want him back.
I mean, but if but if he knew he did something bad in Houston, but he didn't do it here,
what does it matter? It's the same guy. He did it a year before he was here. It's the same guy who was willing to take those same actions. That's not someone who should be a manager in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but if you're penalized and you learn from it, I mean, I would have him as manager again. If he's a good manager, if he's one of the best, if he gets
the
guys to play well.
The managerial position has, and I
know, we thought
he's
we
a good manager.
Yeah.
He's good at being a manager. Sorry, I don't want him managing my team. The reaction that the Astros had to him was the appropriate one. But I even still question the Astros. What more do they know?
Yeah.
617-779-0985. He shouldn't have to learn from that. He didn't know that that was wrong to set up an elaborate electronic system to be
able
to alert.
Bit much.
You know, to be banging on the drum and alert players as the pitch was thrown. It's so far against sort of the culture of sign stealing. It's so over the line. He needed to learn that that wasn't right and that he shouldn't have been doing that? No. Absolutely not. We'll get to your calls and reaction on this. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Yankees going to have to go to court and try and stop that letter from coming out this week. Meanwhile, the Major League Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball itself keep bickering at one another, and they are getting nowhere. An update on that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the telephone number. Major League Baseball and its Players Association are going nowhere. They continue to trade proposals, and they continue to reject each other's proposal.
June 15th, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Boy, you're going to hit a drop dead date here soon, boy, and it's coming. Thought they would have had something figured out by now. Something. Something to want to play, to get back out there, to get going. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. Here we are, another week into it.
The league proposed a 72-game season on Friday. It included a rather, I'd say, not nice letter that they wrote with it as well. They gave the union until Sunday to respond. Major League Baseball rejected it by Saturday. You've got till Sunday. No, we don't need till Sunday. We'll tell you right now, we're not taking it. Tony Clark issued a statement saying it appears further dialogue with the league would be futile, he said, and invited Commissioner Rob Manfred to schedule however many games he sees fit. They're basically saying, go ahead, just tell us when to show up. You're going to force a season on us. Tell us when to show up, and we'll see what happens. Do you think that's going to end well?
No.
That's not going to end well. It's going to be ugly. Players are going to be pissed. They're going to show up. Some will show up. Some won't. I bet some take a full pass on it, say, nah, I'm not doing it. And they can play for the prorated salary. That will not include expanded playoffs. And everyone will just be pissed off. And that will be the baseball season. Everybody pissed. Everybody's angry. Everyone can't stand each other. And that's what's going to end up happening. That's the way it's going to go.
Sure, those games will move real quick with a bunch of pissed off players.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing now. Great. You know, I'm at the point where it's like, yeah, obviously they're not going to – I have no expectation of them agreeing to any sort of deal. Manfred is going to force the season on them somewhere in the range of 50-something games. He's going to tell them when to show up, where to show up, and what they're getting paid, and that's going to be the end of it.
Yeah, and then, you know, we say that as, like, that's the ultimate blow and that's how it happened. No, then the players don't show up.
Right.
No, I am imposing. Now I am putting the edict down. We are playing 50 games for 75% of prorated salary, and the players just all say, no, we're not doing it. There you go. There's no season.
I mean, Trevor Bauer tweeted out on Friday after this first offer came back. He said, just so y'all know, 70% of prorated salaries at 72 games is the exact same as, wait for it, full prorated salary at 48 games. Nothing to see here. Same exact offer in different clothing.
We've been talking about the sliding scale for weeks now.
Just a reallocation of risk. So I tweeted at Bauer outage. I said, isn't the offer for 83%? Because a lot of people were saying it was 83%. And I got a tweet back.
Oh.
He says, only if the playoffs occur and they're not cut short, which is completely out of our control. There are other stipulations that go along with it as well. So what he's saying is, why would I agree to the prorated pay on 72 as opposed to just showing up for the 48? Again, yes, there's a chance we make more money with that with playoffs, but that's not a certainty. So I'm just going to play. Why don't we just aim for the 48? He's not saying that, but it's how I would view it. Like, what's the point of playing 72 for you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you start 48 games and you only have to play 48 games starting in July or whatever, and whenever they do start, the playoffs will start earlier, meaning you're more likely to get them in.
So he's right. The owners keep dressing up these offers like, oh, they're better offers. They're not. They're all pretty much the same.
Okay. So stupid question for me here, not being a Major League Baseball pitcher. What is the timetable on a pitcher getting ready to perform at his best level? How long does that guy need? Is it 6 weeks? Is it four? Is it three?
I don't know, because this is not normal circumstances.
No, I know
that. They have spring training for a few weeks.
But I'm sure it's shut it down, man. And then
spring training is about 4 or 5 weeks,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Six,
right,
maybe?
But do they need to start over and do 5 weeks, or do they need to sort of pick up where they left off? I don't know.
Or are they quietly ramping them up?
Well, they're not going to get 5 weeks. So.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But if I would have a little panic in my step if I was a Major League Baseball pitcher, and even though they're far away from not playing.
3 weeks from today is July 6th.
Oh, Jesus. So they would start playing, what, end of July?
No, I think they'd start playing in August.
See, I don't...
No, July 10th? July 10th is not happening.
That was hockey. I get so freaking misconstrued on the dates. That's hockey. Man, they're going to play that many games. You're jamming in some games, man.
And they can play done? 48 games in like 55 days,
yeah.
We'll say. You could start the second week of August and get done and play the playoffs in October.
They got a ton of money. I mean, baseball's got a ton of money. This is coming off the heels of MLB and Turner Sports agreeing to a $1 billion deal, keep the LCS in the playoffs there. So you want the players to see that, do you? There's money there. You just can't come to it.
Yeah, that doesn't kick in for a couple more seasons.
Right, but still, they know they're going to get paid.
Yeah, they'll get paid if their game's played.
Yeah. We'll be back at some point.
617-779-0985. Alan's in California. Hey, Alan.
How's it going?
Good.
I've taken about 3,000 people surfing over the years down in the tropics.
Yeah.
I've been stung over 500 times by Portuguese man of war. The number one thing to do with a jellyfish sting is pour vinegar on it.
Yep.
And then just do a little vinegar soak, and it will go away. The easy way to not get stung is to wear a full sleeve, you know, long sleeve lycra with a spring wetsuit.
How about shark attacks?
You'll never have a problem with jellyfish.
How about sharks? You see sharks? You see big ones?
Yeah, I've had an encounter with a great white on August 1st, 2005.
Wow.
That's when I learned they had great whites in the Sea of Cortez. I didn't know they did until I saw one. So
seems like something you may have looked up beforehand.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you what was happening.
I was filming
some clients.
Yeah, clients.
And I went out to get some for myself about 700 feet off the beach. I was waiting for a set. And all of a sudden, there was this dorsal fin. I turned about 75 degrees to my right, and there was a tail fin. So I was like, okay, that's a great white. Get me the hell out of here.
Yep.
And just so happened a big wave came, and I went right over them, right into the beach.
So you're a pretty good surfer then, Alan, huh?
The thing about Mexico is June is the best month. May, June is the best month for Mexico. For surfing, you got all those big storms in the southern hemisphere, just push and swell.
El Nino.
And everybody wants to go surfing, and that's right when the jellyfish are spawning. Yeah. In June.
Do you use Mr. Zog's sex wax to wax your board up?
We have about 10 different kinds. You got cold water wax, warm water wax, tropical sticky wax for when it's, 130 degrees. In the sun, believe it or not, in the tropics, the sun will melt your wax even when your surfboard is underwater.
Oh, I believe it. You're a goofy footer, Alan?
Alan's gone. I thought a minute and 57 seconds was the appropriate length.
Do you think he uses the foot attachment, Hardy? The Velcro?
The leash?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Some of the pros don't.
Well, it depends on what you're surfing.
Some of the pros said, if you're really hanging 10 on a big one,
you
go down. That board, if it's attached, it could come down and really do some damage to the back of your head. Then knock you out.
Bonk you right in the noggin.
You don't get knocked out underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alan sounds he's legit. He's no Barney. He knows what he's doing.
3,000 people. Jesus.
Fred's in Norwood. Hey, Fred.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say Kyrie's a total dink, and he's a fraud. He isn't playing, and his team has no shot at winning. But if he was playing and his team did have a chance at a championship, I don't think he'd be saying this. He strikes me as a, if I can't do it, I don't want anybody to type of guy.
Hmm. Oh. I mean there's no way of testing that. But
yeah, there's no way to know. But I'll tell you what, if he were not the VP of the players' union, then I think you'd have a better case. You'd have more of a concrete way of saying, wait, this guy has nothing to do with this. He's not playing. He's hurt. But he's in a position of leadership within the players. So
I can't believe he's vice president of the players' union.
Well, you don't have to go any further than his own statements, from a week and a half ago, or I shouldn't say statements, was reported he said a week and a half ago to last Friday to think he's a dink, because a week and a half ago he wasn't concerned about pulling people out of protests, so that they're instead watching basketball, or the optics of having players play games while this is going on. He was worried about the food. He's worried about the swag.
He's got a diet.
He was asking questions about, what stuff do we get when we get there a week and a half ago.
What's our grab bag?
And then something dawned on him, or he had an episode. I don't know. I really don't know what goes on in his head.
Will they be showing Uncle Drew on the free movie channel at the hotel?
The same part of Kyrie Irving that compels him to sit in front of a computer for hours on end watching YouTube conspiracy theories about the earth really being flat is the same part of his person that kicked on in that week interval and prompted him to go on that conference call on Friday night and start talking about how something seems fishy here. It's that part of his person that emerged in both those cases. So I don't know. Is he a dink? Is he crazy? Is he fraud? I don't know, but he is, as you said, Beetle, he's vice president of the Players Association, and he's not just speaking for himself.
We talked about Long Gone Summer to start the day. Some more thoughts on that. Also, we'll get to the Bruins later this hour. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was only brought up to my attention that it would help through some injuries. So that's what the basis. By no means did I need to do it for strength purposes. And I regret, doing it. I mean, the bottom line is, if there was a drug testing back then, it would never happen. That would have never happened. I don't encourage, I don't want anybody ever to follow any footsteps like that, but it sort of sucks.
What do you believe Mark McGwire said there?
If I say that on. If I say that I regret something and I want to make a statement about it, I say I think of something I actually regret here.
I like when he was at the big hearing and he said, I don't want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the future.
I regret trying to do that power slide, my Volkswagen GTI, on the icy roads one night to impress my roommate because I ended up busting the wheels and breaking the tie rods and it screwed up my car. I regret that. Am I enunciating that properly?
Yes.
I regret, you know, doing it.
I mean.
It sounds like he's saying, I don't regret doing it.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean.
You do or don't? I don't know. If you regret,
I regret calling
you a dumb, stupid face. I regret that.
I regret.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean.
Nope, doesn't sound like it. I'm trying. And I regret doing it. Oh. No, try it again. And I regret doing it.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean,
nope, I don't regret doing it is what he's saying. He's saying, well, I don't regret doing it. So what happened last night, if you're wondering why the hell we're playing this, this is the only point in the documentary in which anything needed a subtitle. And ESPN and the makers of the documentary put up a subtitle under him saying that audio. Play it again. Play it.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean.
And underneath that, they wrote, I regret doing it. They put a subtitle on the screen.
He said, I don't.
They put a subtitle on the screen because as you hear it, he says, I don't regret doing it. And they put a subtitle that says the polar opposite. I regret doing it. And all I could think was they sent him a review copy of the of what it was last night. And he was like, oh, wait, that's... guys, I said I regret doing it, not I don't regret doing it. Guys, I think you need to put a subtitle in.
Okay, so T-Bone has slowed it down so we can listen to it more closely.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean...
Give me again.
I don't regret, you know, doing it. I mean...
I don't regret doing it.
Do you have a football scores in front? So, I don't regret doing it.
See...
I don't regret doing it.
I mean, it's either a Freudian slip where he's saying, I don't regret.
Is he starting to say, I don't know, you know, regret doing it? Did he blend it?
No, it's either a Freudian slip or he's just rushing through it because he doesn't really regret it. If I'm going to play armchair psychologist.
Or he's caught up in a moment of honesty because he was comfortable giving the interview.
A Freudian slip. That's what I'm saying. He actually slipped out what he really thinks. But it's like Zoe thinks I insulted him last night in the phone. All right, you want me to say that I regret? Okay, I regret insulting you last night. I don't really mean it. I'm just gonna slur it. You want me to say it? Fine. I regret insulting you last night. I don't think I did. Blah, 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 blah. That I mean, if you truly are regretful about something, here you are. It's a 30 for 30 about you. That's something you feel bad about, and you regret it. I regret taking that Andro. I mean, that's how you would expect it to come out if he were truly regretful about it. But he either mumbled it or he flat out said something else. I don't think he does regret it.
I regret cutting the snake's head off. I felt bad about it last night.
I don't regret, you know, doing it.
No, he said, I don't regret. I don't regret. It's clear. I don't regret. I don't regret doing it.
I don't regret, you know, doing it.
You know who's more uncomfortable talking about this is Sammy Sosa.
Okay.
Sammy Sosa doesn't like the steroid talk. Well, or at least...
Because Sammy Sosa's never admitted to anything, but should he regret it?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think any of these guys should regret it.
I don't regret it because I was the story. I was the daily story in the world. I led the home run chase of that. Me and Sammy.
You think that's
us
it?
Two guys.
You think that's why he doesn't truly regret it? Because he was the story of the world?
I broke records. I was the story in the world, and I made a ton of money doing it. Why should I regret it?
Well, I mean, for Mark McGwire, let's remember that this extends long before he hit 70 home runs. Okay? This is something that was a part of his major league career.
Right. So you would have to regret a big chunk of your life and career to come out now and say and believe, I regret it. Because what he would essentially be saying is, I regret everything I did for that time going back to Oakland and beyond, right up through and including and beyond the home run chase and hitting 70. He would essentially be saying, I regret all of that. And that's impossible. I wouldn't expect him to. I wouldn't regret it either. He was taking something that was frowned upon, but it was still allowed. What do we... He probably regrets that he had to sit in front of Congress and talk about it. I don't think that was fun. He probably regrets, you know, people won't put him in the Hall of Fame about it. He feels bad about that, but he can't regret that because that's not on him. That's how other people feel about it. You know? Regret's the wrong word. I'm sure there are things about it that he would change, you know, then and how it was viewed or how people would view it now, but you can't do that. But for what you did and what actions he took during that time, does he regret it? No, I don't think he does. I don't think he should.
Yeah, I don't think he does regret it, and I think it probably just goes against what he had said publicly in previous interviews. So now he's going to try and clean it up after the fact. Is what he's doing.
God, seeing that subtitle pop up was so funny, though.
I was like, what the hell is this?
What are we doing?
How many? Who rewound it the most? T-Bone, did you do it? Was it Beetle or T-Bone?
I was still a couple minutes behind everyone, so I saw the text, and I was like, oh, I was like anticipating. Right?
I know.
Where's the subtitle? What is this subtitle? Because you guys gave no context to it on the text.
Yeah.
It was great. And then once I saw it, I was like, oh, no.
Like, what? Oh, what is with the subtitle? By the way.
You had Sammy Sosa talking the whole time. You can't understand a word he's saying. He didn't have one subtitle. And they randomly popped this McGuire one in.
Yeah. I just...
You know why they had to do it, too? Because he mumbles through it. So there's
He was featured far more than Sammy Sosa.
Oh, he was. Yeah.
And at no other point in the documentary did they feel the need for a subtitle, mumbling or not. I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second. Good news. MLB Network is getting in on the game, and that would be producing Sunday night sports documentaries. They just put up a preview on Twitter a short time ago. There is going to be a new documentary Sunday night at 8 p.m. So if you didn't enjoy Long Gone Summer, and I don't think Long Gone Summer lived up to what it could have been. I don't think it was particularly well done. Maybe this documentary will. It's called Junior, Sunday night, 8 p.m. on MLB Network. Mm. They are taglining it as this is the story of the baddest man in the land, Ken Griffey Jr., documentary and profile of his career.
Wallach won't sleep that night.
Sunday night, 8 p.m.
George Kenneth Griffey Jr. Ken Jr. the Kid.
Holy cow, the kid has done it!
A five-tool center fielder whose sweet swing and winning smile helped define a new age for baseball's popularity.
For me, playing baseball was what I wanted to do.
An incredible catch by the kid!
I wanted to be able to leave a mark on the ball, somehow, some way.
This is the story of the baddest man in the land. You see him walk to the plate, look out.
This guy was special from the day he arrived. He was such a natural talent.
Oh my, what a catch by Griffey!
Every day was a human highlight reel. Every day he was doing something where you just like, really?
The way he look, the way he run, the way he swing, it's like he makes the game of baseball cool.
Watch this! Perfect timing!
Griffey is a celebrity on a whole nother level that we had never had in Seattle up until that point. I didn't do it because of the money. I didn't do it for the fame. I did it because I loved baseball.
So, Jim, that was Macklemore commenting in there?
That was Bo Jackson, LeBron James, and Macklemore, three voices you heard.
So how long ago did...
This is already better than what we watched last night.
When's the last time Ken Griffey played?
It's already better.
This is already better than what we watched last night.
The trailer is better. Yeah.
You get better people being interviewed. You know what else I got a chuckle about last night, too? The freaking play-by-play guys. Oh, he hit it. He did it. He did it. It's a big one.
Buck?
The baseball play-by-play guys. No, it wasn't Jack Buck.
You got an issue with Jack Buck?
No, it was the other guy, the dark-haired guy, was standing up.
Welcome here to the baseball field, and it's a beautiful day here for baseball.
Oh, is that Shannon, Mike Shannon?
I think it was him, yeah.
That didn't bother me, but man, that Griffey.
I liked how they pointed out the importance of KMOX.
That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
Look, there was stuff in there that was really cool. The grounds crew kid that got the ball and then went on Letterman.
Like Jack Buck crying.
Yeah, that was fun. You know, watching Jack Buck's reaction to it, and some of the stuff on Sosa too. Like I was watching this, I'm thinking like, God. So guys just continued to pitch to both of them, huh? And then they kind of addressed that when they said...
Pitchers, I wasn't happy about it. Well, everybody else celebrating, I wasn't happy about it.
Well, and especially with Sosa, Sosa was hitting pitches out that he had no business hitting out.
Towards the end, McGuire reaching across the plate and hitting the low one out and just golfing it with one hand.
They weren't really pitching to him.
Put the bat on the ball. Your strength will take it out of the park.
Yeah, and they were still... especially with the Cardinals, they didn't make the playoffs that year. So did they? No, they finished third. So yeah, you're still gonna pitch to them because you're winning games.
That's probably why McGuire got so pissed off thinking that one was a ball. He goes, Jesus, I'm trying to like help you out too. I'm swinging at balls that are actually balls, but they're like over the plate on the other side. You're gonna call a ball, and I'm still gonna hit it out.
I was.
You know, they did Steve Traxel a solid, I thought, in the documentary. By not showing how pissed he was on the field when he gave up the home run.
Exactly. Beetle, when he started talking about it, I wanted them to go back to show him throwing his glove or staring McGuire down while he ran around the bases.
Traxel was so bent out of shape, and I don't think he was most mad at anybody other than his own teammates. He was pissed at the time about his – and he sort of said that last night in his interview, but he was pissed. Because at the time, that loss dropped them back into a tie, I think, in the wild card race. Like, they were fighting for a playoff spot at that point in time. And he's like, oh, we're stopping the game for this now? Like, he was not happy at the time. I remember that. That was one of the things I remember about it and wish they had shown more of last night.
Yeah, but, that was cool because it would have been fun if they had showed it. But you're right, they did him a solid because the whole tone of the thing was like, everybody's celebrating, it captivated the world, everybody wanted it to happen. And he would have been seen as the lone outlier, you know, for the one guy who was pissed off about it. You know, even Sosa was happy for McGuire, it seemed like, when it happened in the moment.
He was relieved.
Like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. He's just gonna have to do this dog and pony.
Go ahead.
Dog and Pony Show is what you were looking for. We're looking forward to hearing a montage of the Bruins Game 7, their win in 2011. Yes, that's right. It's been 9 years to the day today that the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. We'll play that for you coming back next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is.
It's not as important as you think. Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the puck drop. Marshawn will jump on a right wing corner. Marshawn looking. Curls out to the right circle. Spins back in deep. Feeds it in front. Score! Patrice Bergeron on the slot, set up by Marchand, and the Bruins with a 1-0 lead in the first.
Going into the game, we talked about not getting too high. You know, if we do score, you can't act like you won the Stanley Cup because you get the emotional high and it'll end up showing on the ice.
Plays it across to Daniel, backhander, save Thomas! In the far corner, Hanson trying to bring it in front, he does, put it on net, and a save Thomas!
Tim Thomas, in these playoffs, just... totally dominated.
Burrows, turnaround rush, rush on right side, blocked by Thomas. Chara was there too, and Chara kept it out. Marchand trying to settle it, takes it around the net, wraparound chance, save Luongo, must puck score! And the Bruins are up 2-0.
The most important thing is what's going on inside that dressing room, and there wasn't a guy that didn't believe in what we were doing.
Bergeron to the net, poked down by Erhoff, score! And rolled in! Bergeron gets it shorthanded!
All we talked about was going out there and earning it. You know, it wasn't ours to have, it was ours to earn.
Marchand has it with an open net in front of him. Marchand, a rush shot, and he scores! Brad Marchand for the empty net goal and a 4-0 lead for the Bruins. With 5 seconds to go, the extra behind the Canucks net. Get the duck boats ready. After 39 long years, the cup is back home. The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions.
We did everything the hard way. I mean, we took years off all of our fans' lives. We took years off our parents' lives and our wives and our girlfriends and everyone, our friends. But it's all worth it at the end.
To have my name in there is special, but this is even more special for my team and for the city of Austin.
Thank you, man!
Oh, it's so cold.
Yeah, baby!
It's so cold. And it smells. I smell like I'm in high school.
You know, just to have your name on it, be proud of it. And, you know, I don't think people realize what we have, and we had to go through it again here. And to win this, it means so much to all of us.
You've been waiting a long time, but you got it. You wanted it, you got it. We're bringing it home.
2011 Stanley Cup champions, the Boston Bruins, won it 9 years ago today. Feels like not that long ago, but in fact, it has been 9 years since that happened for the Bruins. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, you saw some of the players from that team that maybe you've forgotten about over time, because the group, it does have some of the same faces now, the Bergerons or Charas, Krejcis, etc., that are still on the team and still here. But yeah, it's been 9 years since that happened. I got some thoughts on that. By the way, one quick thought. This is something we sort of seem to do every single year with the Bruins. Do we not? I feel like every year at this time we're playing this.
Yeah. Anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Yeah, Tom just said he's never heard a montage played more than that one.
That one has that's a really sort good montage.
No,
number
but
one.
It, the music.
It, I thought we buried it like 4 or 5 times. Like, oh, it's probably the last time we're going to play
the music's
this.
Great.
The last time.
Nope. Music's great because you get up off the mat. It's rocky. And you got the line in there. It smells like high school. And David Gosher, Bob Surratt, Judd Surratt, we love. But it's like classic Gosh highlights like we do with Gil. You know, we play some of the old Patriots games. It takes you back.
Yeah, I would say the one thing we've done during the time off here in sports, everyone in sports media and sports in general have sort of had a more of an appreciation for things that have already happened, because that's what we've got for material. You know, you've got old games, we've got things that we can watch that we haven't seen in a long time, or we've got a documentary, whether it be Jordan or Last Night, whatever it might be. And maybe we should be doing more of that in general. I don't know. But I would say this, just to let you know, a heads up, July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, we will run all 7 games from that series on the Sports Hub. We're going to run the 2011 Stanley Cup Finals with commentary from players and announcers. Correct, Jim? Do I have all this right?
Yeah. Yep. It's because the 3rd falls on a Friday. It's a, kind of the observation of the 4th holiday.
So July 3rd, 4th, and 5th, you can hear all of the games from 2011 with Gosh and Beers. That's coming up on the Sports Hub just a few weeks from now. But let's talk about the Bruins in general and where they are now 9 years later compared to that night when they won in Vancouver. We'll do that after headlines. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One last thing. I'd like to ask my liney right here, Marshy, to come over.
You know what it is. Black and yellow. Black and yellow. Yeah. Put it up, posse.
Backstage sagecountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One last thing. I'd like to ask my liney right here, Marcy, to come over.
Yeah, you know what it is. Black and yellow.
Yeah.
What up, posse? Black and yellow. Uh-huh. Everything we do it big.
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you.
It's been 9 years since the Bruins spent an entire summer drunk off their ass.
Was that Bill Foxwoods? Buck 37?
That was the start of it right there.
And Marchand got sent home.
It's okay.
Was it?
That's true.
It was.
You did get sent home at some point. Thornton, time for you to pack your crap and go home.
I think Thornton pulled him aside and said, "You need to go to Toronto."
It's okay.
No, Nova Scotia.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Nova Scotia. Right. Love. Sorry. Yeah. I think Thornton was the one who said, "All right, you're why don't you just sit out the
just
next
let him
few
go.
Hey, hey, bud. Why don't you call it quits?
Guys like him in Napoli, just let him go. Let him enjoy it. That's their moment, man.
All right, so that was 9 years ago, and
like Mr. Leahy and Trailer Park Boys, just let him drink.
Let me give you a scenario. Season ends this year.
Yeah,
they don't pick things back up. Yep. Bruins don't get a crack at it. They've got free agency to deal with. Torrey Krug being one of the guys that's hitting free agency, and you know they don't get back to being as close as they were last year going into a game seven. Mm-hmm. They don't get back to being in that position again. And this could apply even if they do play the season out. What are you going to say about the Bruins in this era if they don't win another one? What are you going to say about that championship?
Okay, I think
it's already 9 years ago.
I think it depends how they keep it together next year. Like, ramp it up one more time. Let's give it another go. Now, maybe this is a butt char extra time. Maybe Tuukka gets to sit back, think about some things. Like, you know what? I just want one more great year of goaltending in me. I want to go win it. I'm going to win the freaking Vezina again. Let's go. Let's go for it one more time.
Ask your question again.
They don't win another cup. That's the only cup they end up with. What will we be saying about the Bruins of this era?
See, Zoe is answering a different question.
That's a shocker.
Not really.
Yes, you were.
Because if they would ramp it up and win one more. I was saying, get in
no,
it.
If they don't win one more.
And that's the only one they have. From 2011.
People say they choked twice.
Choked is the wrong word. Underachieved.
Will they?
Well, what year was it they won a president's?
Who cares? Who cares about that?
But irrelevant. I mean, people do. But then you get in, you get popped, and you're like, hey, you choked. You know?
You go to game seven, it's not a choke.
The path that you traveled last year, the ease of it. He dodged some bullets there at the beginning, and he got in and was set up for you.
Maybe you weren't that.
At home.
Well,
home.
You just said it. The path was cleared for you. Maybe you weren't good. Maybe you weren't like the legitimate best team in the East, and you overachieved by pushing the Blues to a game seven.
Yes. I think that's a more valid argument in that, yeah, they could never get once the game changed on them. Once the game changed.
That sounds better.
Because I don't want to tag them as chokers. I hate when people do that. You choke because you get popped. What do you think? The Patriots choked last year? Just think maybe we got reality set in that they weren't that good.
Once the game changed, it's a different style of game now than it was when they won the cup. I mean, I just think about it going through that slideshow and viewing all that. How much of a bigger, more physical, heavier team and heavier style they play.
How about their fourth line? Because about Lucic, all of them, Beetle. Yeah.
I mean, that was just a different Thornton. Time when you could operate differently, and the Bruins used that to their advantage.
What Recchi meant to, yep.
And fourth lines now are skill lines. They're not about having a fourth line with a fighter on it or Sean Thornton or whoever, you know, and it's not just about getting energy from your fourth line. It's about getting skill and production from your fourth line. The story of the Bruins of the decade will be, yeah, they were a good team. You know, front office did a lot to make sure they had a good roster. They made some mistakes on some big contracts along the way. But for the most part, those were really talented teams. They should have won more, but they could never get over the hump once the game changed on them. They never quite could get over that hump.
Maybe it was the
remnants of Claude and the way they played with Claude, but they still couldn't change enough after he was gone to get over that hump. And they had a game 7 in their own building, and they puked all over their own shoes.
That was such a nice, fully formulated thought until that last part.
It's the truth.
It's the absolute truth.
You know how depressed people were after that? Do you know how many people didn't even want to talk sports? Do you know how many people just didn't want to talk hockey? Like, it was bad. The loss was bad.
Well, it's interesting though, Beetle, because we talk about it in the confines of a decade, right?
We didn't respect St. Louis. That was the problem.
Well,
good.
And their sort of path is lining up with this decade now, isn't it?
What do you mean by that?
Their best teams of
recent years have been this decade. You know, they're much better this decade than they were the previous one.
But they are two different teams within the decade. You know, the 11 team, as we said, heavier. I mean, the fact that Sean...
But a lot of the same guys are here. Marchand, Bergeron,
different
Krejci.
Goalie, different
You're talking
game.
About real, legit skill guys that are still here.
Yes, but different game and a different style of play with a different head coach. They're two different teams. Yes, Chara, Bergeron, Krejci.
Which one you like better? Which one
different
you like
goalies, different head coaches, different style of play. When they won in 11,
you're making excuses.
What do you like
for
better?
I'm not making excuses because you're fearful that this is going to come to fruition.
I'm not making excuses for them. I'm saying that we're putting this artificial timeline of this one decade in there when you're really talking about two different teams. Yes, there are components that are very important that have. Not
all
changed,
your core guys are the same.
No, they're not. When the goalie and the coach are different, how can you say all the core guys are the same?
Defense because, and the goalie. Yep.
Because the core guys are the same. Yes, they are. Tuukka was on the team in 2011.
Oh, stop it. He didn't play.
I understand that.
The coach is different.
The style of play is different.
The style of play across the entire league is different, Artie. Right. The whole league has changed.
Right. So,
it's not just the Bruins.
So if you want this to fit your narrative better, you start with the changeover. You start with I'll give you 13. I'll give you 13 with a different goalie, and that also allows for the changeover in the coach. You can include this, you know, the last cup run too. But up until 2011, they are different. Things change with your goalie. Things change with the way the game was played. And you're talking about a time back in 2011 when it made a difference when Sean Thornton was reintroduced into that series. Can you imagine? In the upcoming cup final,
no,
however
in fact,
it's played.
I said that right off the top. I agree. I just said that about fourth lines.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's very different. The league is different, of course. I don't understand why it's unfair when your captain is the same and your best forward is the same and you still have your other two best forwards
on the team. They're actually better pros.
In Marchand.
Yeah. Who's your best forward right now?
Pastrnak.
Yeah. Pastrnak. Is that the same?
No,
it's not.
No, but that's
your,
that
best
falls
forward,
in.
Your best forward from Sagan 2011 is still on the team in 2020, which
but
in and of
your,
itself
is
pretty
not
remarkable.
Your, but he's not your best forward Krug now.
Was a
it's
pup.
A different team. It's a different team, and not you don't have to nitpick to find the differences. It's a much different team.
I don't understand why
now.
You can't just say, like, the Bruins of this era. Like this was all part of.
Well, because.
Let me ask you something, Hardy. If they had won all three cups they were in, if they won in 2013 and they won again last year, would we be talking about how this group had won three? Because I would be.
No, I would not be talking about it. And we don't even talk about that way with the Patriots. The quarterback and the coach are the same. There are at least three different versions of that team that won over the course of 20 years. They're different. It is a testament to the coach and the quarterback, and that's about it because so many things change.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there is plenty of change between 2001 and 2004 on the New England Patriots roster, but I still count them as the same group.
I think it's easier to count that as the same group than it is to count the 2011 Bruins as the same thing as the 2020 Bruins. To me, it's unfair to count them as the same.
All right. Well, I don't want to beleaguer this point, but I would just say that.
Oh, beleaguer away. We got the 48 more minutes.
Generally speaking, I think when you look back at the, when you look back at this era in Bruins history, if they don't win another one, they're going to be remembered a lot differently than maybe they want to be remembered.
I agree with that. Choke's a strong word, but they unfinished business. They left there. And that's a shame because they had more talent. Like those guys you talk about that were there in two different, you know, eras. These guys are better pros now with better skill around them, you could say. You could say Pastrnak, you know. You had Sagan then. You had Pastrnak now.
If anything, I'll give him credit for being able to make the transition
from
a heavier game in 2011 to a more finesse game now, where you're still making it to Cup Final.
Did you ever think Marchand would morph into the type of player he is now?
No.
No, we thought he was going to be one of those pesky pricks that's just going to skate around and be an antagonizer. And then all of a sudden, wow, this guy's got a hell of a skill set.
I don't care what happens this year. I'm going to celebrate the entire decade for what they were able to accomplish, not for their shortcomings.
Oh, well, you're not allowed to celebrate the decade by your standards. You're only allowed to celebrate the last couple
of
years.
If forced to do it, I'm going to celebrate the entire decade as a success.
Yes, celebrate good times.
You back me into a corner, and now I got my feathers up.
Come on, good times.
I got my hackles raised, you son of a bitch.
Good times. All right, come on. What if this is as good as it gets for the Bruins?
Another good movie.
What if this is it? We've got a read and react lined up on a boatload of football points that we didn't really have a full segment on any of them, so we're just going to fly through them next, including there are NFL players that have tested positive for COVID today, all in the state of Texas. That's coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.